get into your oversized shark tank and tear up Sydney with us this week as we look at yet again another Asylum film set in the amazing Megalodon series. Will this latest kaiju-like film from the Mockbuster studio peter out, or does this shark have legs that will allow it to continue to flourish on direct-to-DVD shelves at Best Buys across this great nation? Find out right now. This is Kaiju vs. History, Mega Shark vs. Mecha Shark.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is the co-host who's going to need a bigger boat shaped like a shark, Patrick. And joining me is the gravelly-voiced and potato-headed Christopher Judge look-alike, Miles. Miles, I sure hope they don't take DVDs out of Best Buy anytime soon.
You know, when I was saying that, I was like, they don't have those anymore.
Yeah.
It's almost as if a reference as dated as references in this movie.
At the time, Best Buy was the only place to get DVDs.
No, Walmart, man.
Well, yeah, Walmart. Yeah, I'm sure you could find Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark at Walmart.
I can't speak to Best Buy because I hadn't been doing as much Best Buy shopping that wasn't online at the time. But I mostly saw Asylum films at Walmart. That's where I typically saw them.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever really noted one in the wild, like, oh man, look at Sharknado or whatever. But I don't think I
always peruse and the posters. I mean, I guess posters should have sarcastic quotation marks around it, just like amazing Megalodon series should have sarcastic quotation marks. But the DVD covers always have the exact same kind of style. And so, I mean, you don't even have to look too hard to be like, oh yeah, that's an Asylum movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I gotta say, Patrick, I say this a lot on this podcast. I say this a lot on The More You Nerd. I'm a big fan of trash movies.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, howdy does the Asylum wear on me.
Yeah. The thing is, I feel like they have been
trash. I feel like they're just slop.
It feels like they've been getting better. But I think they're
Hard disagree, my friend. Hard disagree.
I think they're just increasing production value, but staying at the exact same level, you know.
Yes, I mean, so, there is that.
It's hard to describe. We're gonna have to do an entire episode on this movie to really figure it out.
We are, of course, talking about Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark, which is a 2014 direct DVD.
You really got to slow down the title. Mega Shark versus
Mega Mecha
Shark. Yeah, it's just something saying Mega Shark, Mega Shark.
Shark versus Shark. That's what this movie is. This is, of course, a sequel to Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus and Mega Shark versus Krotosaurus, and is the third installment in the Mega Shark series somehow. Patrick, before we go further into who's in this movie and what happens in this movie, tell me, what, if anything, is in the title?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, you know, two sharks are in the title this time around. Great tagline for the movie, I will say, monster versus metal. You got a little alliterative on the poster there.
Are you saying great with sarcastic quotation marks around it? Because that's no.
Monster versus metal. I did already talk about this title in our Krokosaurus episode because there was an online forum or message board on the Asylum Studios website where people were unironically asking for a third movie in the series. And they were, you know, asking for, you know, Mega Shark versus the Loch Ness Monster or Moby Dick. But the suggestion came, someone said in that thread, Mecha Shark. And, you know, it's not like they own that idea, mind you, but it does roll off the tongue, I think, a little bit.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. If they had Loch Ness Monster, that's how you get me.
Cyber Shark or Robo Shark, I feel like would have worked pretty well, but Mecha Shark is, of course, and the reason why this series caught my eye. It's, you know, this is the Mecha Godzilla of this universe, believe it or not, and it is probably like the most sci-fi out there thing we've seen in this series so far. Is, you know, there's an AI controlled giant shark tank / submarine. This movie did have some different names in its translations into other countries. It was just in Poland on DVD called Monster Clash. In Romania, this was called The Killer from the Depths. China does translate to Super Shark versus Robot Shark. And in Germany, it translates to Mechatronic Shark. I don't know if they just don't have mecha kind of like as a prefix, but Mechatronic sounds really cool. Yeah, I don't know if it gets better than this title in this series. I don't like, you know, the first one is just versus what, giant
octopus.
That's kind of boring. Crocosaurus is a cool name, but Crocosaurus turned out to be a croca something. What happens in this movie though? What is Mega versus Mecha all about?
Well, so there is a giant frigate that is pulling a glacier.
I forgot how this movie starts. Yeah,
because they're trying to solve some sort of drought in Australia is what they're saying, which I guess here's some giant ice that we're pulling in warm water. And so, of course, as they're pulling this in warm water, the integrity begins to weaken a little bit and starts to crack because, oh no, a megalodon has been in suspended animation in this giant glacier, freeing the megalodon and causing it to start to wreak havoc in I mean, a way that is so, almost like cartoon villain.
And the thing is, are we supposed to believe this is a new megalodon? Like, this is not the same one from versus Crocosaurus, because that went down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench or whatever in like the Death Spiral. This is supposed to be just another giant shark, right?
I don't know. It's not something that bothers me because, I mean, we got four Jaws movies and they kill each and every one of those sharks.
Yeah, I understand. Well,
although in the fourth one, it's supposed to be like the offspring or relative of the original Jaws shark that literally stalks the Brody family from Amity to the Caribbean.
I will say that's a bit too much to put on a fish, but like, killer whales are currently like overturning boats all over the place.
Sure, which is way more fun than Jaws the Revenge is basically a slasher movie. They just have a shark instead of a human being. And it's a very goofy movie. And I love Michael Caine in that movie. I'd rather talk about that movie.
Nope, sorry. it is a little cartoonish intro, and the mega shark knocks the boat into the Sphinx. And
Cartoony. The shark itself just, like, they always talk about its patterns and stuff. It doesn't actually follow any real pattern of a shark. It's just popping up here and there, causing massive destruction, and not really doing anything other than it, like, kind of like the killer whales that we were talking about, because it's just aiming at people. Mm. Like, it's not really doing anything but just, like, effing stuff up. Of course, we have Kratos, who is one of the two-person teams. And then we have Detective Kate Lockley from Angel, our second Angel alum in this show.
Huh. I don't think I...
She's also from Law & Order, but she was much better in Angel for a little bit anyway.
Yeah, this movie does have a tie-in with the original Mega Shark film in Debbie Gibson's back. You know, mostly cameos. She's like in the lab, you know, when they contact her, and I don't think they... Does she ever, like, come into the movie proper?
I mean, only to give...
shark research?
Yeah, only to give Rosie, like, you know, some information. Like, I guess, like, that she's known to these people, because she's like, hey, girl, come, I got some stuff. And, like, that's all her appearance is just, like, kind of being, like, just affable, like, shark scientist. Like as if, like, oh yeah, I had this fun idea. Like, this is like life or death situation. And she's just like, it feels like the conclusions that she is coming to should be obvious. And it's so frustrating because I'm fine with Debbie Gibson being the expert, but like, give her something intelligent to come up with.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't give her a lot to do here, but I almost didn't recognize her because she looks so different from, you know, the character that she was playing 4 years earlier. Now, when did the first one come out? 2009. Like 10, right? So,
oh, nine.
No, this one came out 4 years after Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. And I mean, she maybe has lost weight, but also, I don't think she had work done, but she just has like a very different vibe in this movie from her character in the previous one. This looks like Debbie Gibson kind of rolled out of bed and, you know,
100%
wore her own clothes to set and, yeah, did this. They probably shot her out in like a day or so because she's...
Oh, yeah. She probably recorded it like at her house.
Yeah. Well, she's in the lab when she's, you know...
Yeah, the sunroom doubled as the lab that day. Let's come on. We also have like... All right. So we have our couple in Christopher Judge and Elizabeth Rum, Jack Turner and Rosie Gray, who are married. And I think they're married.
Are they?
Whatever, actually. I think they... Well, they had a kid at some point. That doesn't mean they had to be married, but like... Because we get that stupid flashback of her, like, losing the kid to some disease or some stupid nonsense. every attempt to, like, add some sort of pathos to this movie is the most clumsy, like, after-school special level of writing. Like, this is a movie that, like, actively insults your intelligence by the stories that they present to you. And... I love Christopher Judge, and I've seen him act extremely well. And to see him have to bumble through, one, some of the worst chemistry I've seen between two leads on this show, and deliver some really terrible lines equally clumsily, it honestly, this movie depressed me because I was like, I know what this man can do.
I mean, they gave Jaleel White, like, so much more actual stuff to do in the previous Mega Shark movie. I can't believe that I'm like, ah, man, I wish they brought back him as well for this movie, but I do.
The thing is, like, this, they're supposed to like have this like super fun couple-y banter, and you can tell that like they were given a script that they're trying to like time out to be interrupted, and it is so blatantly obvious, so unnatural in both of their deliveries because they have zero chemistry and they both are just kind of stumbling through this script, and it's absolutely awful. Like the character chemistry between their roles is just abysmal. It's among some of the worst I've seen in this show.
Yeah, it's not great.
We also, like, it's the first time we don't have like kind of a quote unquote celebrity playing like the main admiral character.
Yeah, I would say Christopher Judge kind of replaces that as the big get for.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
this
he
movie.
Does. But like, I mean, we had some good ones. I mean, even though they weren't good in their roles, I mean, we had like, you know, Robert Picardo and oh, gosh, who am I thinking of? I don't think he was. In Crocosaurus, I'm thinking of something else. Oh no,
Atlantic Rim.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Atlantic Rim. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, God, I'm trying to push that movie out of my memory.
You should, but like, yeah, Christopher Judge is the big get of this movie for sure. And like having Debbie Gibson return is like, oh, cool. There's, I guess, some continuity for like. I don't want to trash
for the one anyone. Person that cares about the continuity.
Right,
in the
like this
movie.
Thing about silent movies is like. I think what frustrates me so much about Asylum movies is like with some script tweaking, like even with the production values they have, these movies could be crackerjack fun. Like they could be legitimately solid, even with the goofy special effects. And
To be honest, the special effects in this movie are very camp, very fun, and actually good in a lot of parts. Like when the tank is rolling around the city and they're actually shooting on location, I'm like, how did they manage to make it not look like a giant cartoon, you know. A lot of the underwater shark bits are pretty cool. I think every time the mega shark jumps out of the water, it, you know, literally and figuratively jumps the shark as far as the special effects go. But yeah, I was pretty impressed. There's you know, some details put into the mecha shark, the robot shark that I enjoyed. And like I said, the second the mecha shark, you know, AI went off the rails and started murdering people on land, I was into the movie at that point. I mean, it takes like an hour to get into the film, but once it goes on a rampage and you have these terrible gore effects of it, like running people over and squishing people, I was pretty happy. Christopher Judge saving that little girl from getting eaten by the mecha shark.
Oh, God.
I guess I just wasn't expecting it to be that kind of movie. But it gets incredibly bad, I think, towards the end, especially with Christopher Judge on his dirt bike. His action hero sequences where his, can they give him like a Kawasaki or a just like a Harley or something cool? Just doesn't look very cool.
Yeah, so there's a, if you can look it up, it's an old Cracked article, the five ugly realities of making mockbusters, mm-hmm. like Sharknado. And it was by a writer, I think, written under a pen name because they didn't want to have their laundry aired because they're a working writer. But they said, you know, they were willing to write because they needed money. But they said, most importantly, it seemed like it might be fun to write an entertainingly terrible movie. I wound up being wrong on all counts. Despite pitching them scripts for nearly 2 years, I never actually ended up getting hired to write anything for the Asylum. And even if I had been hired, I would have never gotten the opportunity to write an entertainingly terrible movie. As hard as it is to believe, the trademark awfulness of an Asylum movie is purely accidental. I was specifically warned not to make any of my pitches intentionally campy, or to ever seem like I was, quote unquote, in on the joke. In their minds, there is no joke. The way it was described to me is that they don't think they're making bad movies. They're trying to make good movies. They're just really bad at it. So when they spray paint a Nerf gun black and put it in multiple films, they're not trying to give riff tracks fodder. They think Nerf guns look really, really badass. And I would highly recommend just like reading that article from 2015 because it reminds me of, I guess because I, for the longest time, I couldn't conceive that people were that unself-aware, despite the fact that it's Hollywood. But then I think of people like Tommy Wiseau existing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, if a bunch of Tommy Wiseaus had a bunch of money and made movies like this, and they have, they've made a shark movie, I think, this is what they would come up with. So it's something they've had to make peace with because, like, as someone who grew up with, like, your traumas, your low-budget companies like Full Moon, there is a degree of like, yeah, these are awful, but they're great B movies. You know, I love the Puppet Master franchise. I love the Toxic Avenger and, you know, Tromeo and Juliet, stuff like that. It's where James Gunn got his start. But those people are genuinely trying to make movies. And while these people are, it just often feels like at some point someone had to tell them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they definitely, I should say that when this movie came out, this is the year I think they leaned into the turn of them being bad movies because this is 2013 is the year that Sharknado came out, right? Sharknado.
Yeah. Sharknado is certainly probably a little more self-aware than their other stuff. But like just hearing even as late as 2015, like, yeah, we don't want that. We want real pitches, which makes me feel if I just pretended to be like legit, I could probably pitch an Asylum film.
Yeah, but like
and
I said,
everyone be like, oh, Miles is going to sell it. Yeah, you ain't going to write that check. I'll sell out.
I do think, yeah, they understand that the Sharknado can't be every film that they make, but they did make five Sharknado films. So like, but yeah, while that movie got a ton of success, the author, one of the writers of this movie, Jose Prendez, was approached. And while he wasn't a fan of the previous two, agreed to do this one. And he was not given an outline. He was just said, you know, come up with something. Basically, in the course of a couple of months, came to the idea of, you know, a a robot version of the Mecha Shark. And yeah, it the script apparently was, the final screenplay was written in the first draft 4 days. And they were serious about having a good movie. He said they went through a total of 9 drafts in a couple months, getting
imagine
notes from
a draft
producers.
Being so bad that it didn't make this film.
Well, there was tons of tweaks, and the producers, for example, are the ones that wanted Mega Shark to destroy the Sphinx, and you know, it's pretty far away from water.
pretty far away from Australia.
Well, yeah, I mean, that didn't have to take place in Australia. That was just the beginning of the movie. But that's one thing that they wanted to happen, and he incorporated
that. That's right. That's in Alexandria. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they incorporated that into, you know, him, the Mega Shark, blasting the tugboat through the water to destroy it. But it's like, that's such a weird little note. It's like, think you think indeed these maybe aren't that rigorous, these scripts, but it was. And
I'm still erring on the side of, I don't know if it's that serious.
It was only about a 2-week shoot for this entire movie, a couple days of reshoots here and there. And yeah, they shot a lot, a good amount of extra stuff as well, which they sometimes do, you know, to give them a little bit of leeway in the editing room. But this definitely does have the feel of a made for TV movie. But like I said, I would say the production value is actually somehow getting better and better with each of these Mega Shark movies, even though the movies, it doesn't matter. They could have done the exact same level of effort as the first film and probably would have gotten the same score from us, which is pretty funny. Mega Shark really hasn't changed in 3 movies. But like I said, yeah. I enjoy the Mecha, the robot shark. What about you, Miles?
It's fine. I don't like how blocky it is. I hate the interior because I like, especially with the like bought and paid for like overlay of the shots of, well, I keep wanting to say Kate, Rosie in the cockpit, and you have all these like overlays over her on the video. Mm-hmm. And like I've shot a music video that used one of those paid for overlays, and it's like, okay, they put like $100 into this, and it's so funny. The cockpit is fine. It's a little too empty. Like it definitely feels like, okay, we took an office room and we boarded it up, and
it looks better than the Atlantic Rim robot cockpit. Yeah, I liked it a lot more in this movie, but
it is better than those. I thought the performance of Nero was pretty decent. Paul B. Anderson, who plays the AI here. And I also appreciate the fact that like it's not quite a HAL. Yes, it goes haywire. And I was really kind of hoping it would kind of stay haywire. Like, oh, this is the actual Mega Shark. But the whole thing is like, oh, yeah, the thing that Christopher Judge warned y'all about, like there were too many bugs. It messed his system up. And the AI is aware of it. Like he's like, yeah, I'm not feeling myself. And then I'm also going to try to kill you. It's very, very silly. Also, the direction in this movie it's headache inducing. There are so many like bright flashes and cutting to somewhere else that like, I'm not even kidding. It should have a photosensitivity warning. Like if they can do it before Pokemon, they can do it before a Mega Shark movie.
the director is Emil Edwin Smith, who is, I would say, a pretty excellent visual effects director. Did visual effects for the film Serenity, the Battlestar Galactica TV series, the original like miniseries.
And, wait, is this the guy that was on Trekkies?
Has worked on all the Sharknado.
That's Gabriel something.
Yeah, has worked on all the Sharknado movies as well, doing special effects for them. But how many director things has he done? He's only directed 5 movies. But we're not watching this one either. But he's done visual effects on.
But like, we're not gonna watch Ice Sharks.
Yeah, I had to double check because I do have on our list Snow Monster versus Ice Shark, which is not the same thing. But
is it a sequel?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think it has anything to do with it. Emil Edwin Smith, definitely in his directorial not debut, but one of his first Asylum directorial debuts, Oh, I guess he only did a short before this. So this is his first film that he directed. He's definitely aping and copying Michael Bay in some ways and other kind of like action movie directors. This is not the movie for that, you know? There's like right. These slow motion sequences of Christopher Judge in heroic kind of slow motion shots with like lens flares and things like that. This is not the time to be doing that. It's not the time to pull that out of your toolbox. It just looks weird in this film where everything else is really flat and way too up close. Like there's so many real close up shots on the characters whenever they're in scenes together. But did you have a favorite part of the movie, Miles? Favorite scene or something that worked for you very well?
Oh, well, nothing worked for me very well at all. But I do love the scene when Christopher Judge has just taken the Mach 1 mecha shark after
the little baby mecha.
After Rosie has been like knocked out and hospitalized and the mecha shark's gone rogue. Oh, no, she's still stuck in there, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. And he's there to get her on the shores of Sydney, Australia. And he's stopped by an Australian soldier in one of the dumbest exchanges I think I've seen in a while. And it which ends in the Australian soldier, you know, saying like, you can't be here. And Judge is like, I'm with the Navy. No, no one can come through. Wait, are you with the U.S. Navy? And I was just like, what is happening right now? Because the guy literally just said this. And then, like, I mean, it was just, it's such
a dumb. If you were with the Australian Navy, no way, man.
Yeah, ain't no way in hell you're getting on this. Because then he ends the conversation with a very, like, thanks, mate. And I was just like, Jesus. This was the one moment I really made me laugh. Because I was just like, I'm feeling so bad for Kratos right now. Like, this is where all the anger that came from in the making of 2018's God of War. All that's because he had to endure this writing.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you have a favorite part of this movie?
Well, like I said, the mecha shark absolutely like squashing people and some terrible blood effects on them as it's grinding them under its tank treads. I was just not ready for that in the movie. And I guess maybe I didn't watch the trailer. I didn't screen enough of this film because I did not know that was going to happen in the movie. So I was pretty pleasantly surprised by that at least. But like I said, that's the climax of the film. It takes us a while to get there.
It takes a while for anything to happen. And there's really very little shark versus shark battling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I would say it's the least battling of these three movies. It's more the military having to take on the threats kind of separately. This movie did get pretty cooked online with its reviews. A 17% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, 1.7 stars on Letterboxd, which is better than the Rotten Tomatoes score. And believe it or not, we've got one more of these movies. You thought this was the last one? Probably should have been.
I didn't think it was the last one. I just had hoped.
But we do have one more Mega Shark in Mega Shark versus Colossus. But I feel like I don't even need to watch that movie. I can just go ahead and give it a 4 or a 5 out of 10. Like, oh, they all three of them have been kind of the same level. But regardless, we should rate this one, you know, for the lols. For my personal enjoyment, this film and the next one, I do feel, or what put the series in the kaiju category as, you know, this is a pretty tried and true trope of you have the giant antagonist and then you make a robot version of it to try and take it on. That being said, this one it's not bad. It's just there's nothing really good about it. I think it is somehow less watchable than Versus Crocosaurus, which is kind of so bad it's good. But I enjoyed a lot of aspects of this film. It just didn't hold my attention super well until the end. I did want this to be better, but I would say it's just as good as an experience. I'm going to drop my score to a 4 out of 10 from enjoyment because, yeah, like I said, talking, I think I gave Versus Crocosaurus a 5 out of 10, and I would like to go back and watch that instead of this one. What about you, Miles, for your personal enjoyment?
Well, I had none. I think it's what's so disappointing about these Asylum movies. It's like I said it earlier, like there is certainly a place for these kind of, you know, fun Z-grade type of movies. And I think there's a place for them to be good. Like, they don't have to be great. There's plenty of movies that we've, like, your experience with Yeti obviously was different from mine, but like, you have a lot of fun with that movie. I don't have fun with these movies. I think these movies kind of want me to have fun, but they're not really giving me any sort of way to do it. The scripts are horribly written. The actors tend to not have chemistry, but they, you know, wanted to pluck a name somewhere. And frankly, these movies don't seem to have any direction. Like, the stories are there, but like, when someone's like, oh, what happens in the movie? I get the shark gets out, and I guess they were already making a robot, so they bring it in, and there's a bunch of like authentic personal stuff that doesn't seem real, especially the whole, like, I guess we're supposed to infer that for whatever reason, Rosie is using the death of her daughter in some sort of transference of, I got to kill this shark, even though we find out the daughter just got sick and died. You know, she wasn't killed by a shark. She wasn't killed by a mega shark in a prior movie. She just tragically died. And every instance where this is brought up, you would think, okay, this is where someone's going to write a little bit of pathos and give you some real meat to put on these relationships. No, not at all. And it makes me question myself because I am a fan of trash movies. I just don't think these are trash movies. I think it's slop. I don't enjoy them. And I'm actually going to raise my score to a 3 because it's regrettable, and which is our thing. It's 1.5 stars. I don't think it quite enters the enraging or complete failure or atrocity level quite yet. They're certainly watchable enough. And yes, if I'm stretched to it, if I was, you know, with Patrick and his lovely wife, and we were sitting down, we had drinks, yeah, we could, you know, have fun together. And I mean, entertainment's entertainment. But yeah, I just, these movies just do absolutely nothing for me.
That's the thing. I feel like there's.
Although I think your wife better, would be pissed at us for putting it on.
Oh yeah, so much. There's definitely better, worse movies to enjoy in a not low state or drunk, you know.
Exactly, exactly. And I own many of them in 4K for some reason.
I do want this to be worse. I do think that the technicals of this movie are an improvement over the previous one. Besides, say what you want about Christopher Judge. He is like an actual, I think, pretty good actor.
He's a very good actor.
And the CGI, maybe not the direction, takes it just a step above the last one. The last one just felt very low budget in a lot of ways, and was saved by kind of how bad it was. But yeah, it's a pretty basic plot. The dialogue is a pain in some parts, perplexing in others. But yeah, still somehow one of the best from the Asylum. So I'm giving it a 5 out of 10. I know 5 out of 10 seems not like high praise, but it is for an Asylum film.
That is, that's too hot.
In our scale, it's flawed. Flawed technicals. What about you, Miles?
I mean, the script is honestly what kills it the most. Yes, there are some questionable acting choices, but it's hard to tell because the script is so, so bad. I do agree with you that some of the special effects hold up much better than prior films. However, the directing is pretty awful. So I am going to improve it because I think it's better than the movie I enjoyed. So I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10 there.
Okay. And for its importance, like I said, I feel like this is the first one that feels like it's buying into some kaiju film tropes, pitting the titular megalodon mega shark against a giant robot. The, you know, mega shark stuff starts off fairly benign, but yeah, when the AI kind of goes haywire, it, you know, I sat up and started to pay attention. I was like, oh, okay, it was just something I didn't expect from the movie, even though, you know, robot,
even though they've been telegraphing that since the first moment that thing speaks.
Yes, and robot going haywire and out of human control is also a pretty tried and true
sci-fi 101.
But yeah, I would think that the regular flesh and blood mega shark would then be like maybe more of a hero, but it just doesn't really happen.
Also, the climax of that movie just doesn't exist. Like they kind of get involved, and then I literally blink and you miss it. An explosion happens, and the shark's dead.
Yes, the sharks go down in kind of like the same way, attacking one another, and bam, they're both down. But yeah, I feel like, you know, this movie and maybe the Crocosaurus are beginning to play off some of the tropes and adding to this cinematic universe, but it's more playing on those tropes, not really adding much to them.
Right.
So I'm giving it a 5 out of 10 for its importance. And like I said, this movie and the next one are kind of the reasons why we added it to the list and not like every single mega creature movie, because this one I feel like
Mega Python
playing with the tropes a little bit. I wished we had gotten a little bit more. But what about you, Miles?
So yes, while it does seeming to acknowledge the mega or the mecha villain in kaiju history, that's about it. It doesn't really do a whole lot. The mecha isn't that great for me. Doesn't do a whole lot. And I mean, in terms of like any other tropes they use, they don't really stick with a ton. I mean, yes, there has been the AI goes bad. We see that, well, to a lesser degree in future kaiju movies where there's a mecha, but they're done much better. I mean, I don't think this adds anything to the canon. I don't think it does anything really that memorable. And honestly, when you bring this movie up, I mean, most people that are aware of these movies existing tend to kind of mix them all together anyway.
Yeah.
I used to mix up Crocosaurus and a giant octopus all the time, cause I knew I'd seen one of them, but I kept thinking I had watched the other, and turns out I had actually watched bits and pieces, different late nights, and thought they were both the same movie because they all do feel it the same. So yeah, this is a nothing burger for me. When I watch it, I'm just I feel guilty that I didn't watch something else. So back down to a 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock stars here.
3 out of 10.
Yeah, 3 out of 10.
Right, that puts me at the extremely high ending here of a high 4, 5 out of 10 for this film. And you were at a little mustard on a 3. So that means our podcast final is a 4 out of 10 for Mega Shark.
No, I don't even like when you say that. And I'm like, no, it needs to be lower than that.
Well, that
should have been harsher.
That is what we gave the previous one, Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, and the one before that versus Giant Octopus, a 3 out of 10. So they've technically gotten a little bit better, but mostly just stayed the same. Just if you are keeping track at home, we've given no Asylum film thus far higher than a 4 out of 10, which I was really hoping this might break that curse, get us into the good kind of territory, but no. Oh, right. Where can folks find us if they want to talk about Asylum Kaiju, Miles?
If you want to talk about Asylum films with Patrick, you can reach out to him at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Blue Sky at Kaiju vs. History. You can visit our website, kaijuvshistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends. Let us know what you think. And please check out our Letterboxd account to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. You can also go to cosmiccrit.com, join the Cosmic Crit Discord. There is a channel for Kaiju vs. History, where you can talk to Patrick and I in real time most days because we are bored at work.
Yes, if you want to talk to me about Asylum films there, my screen name is Miles.
It's just a little joke
I play. Feel free to DM me all your Asylum
fan theories. It is absolutely not. If you do that, I will block you. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
You have mod powers there. You can just kick them out.
Oh, I know. And to the consternation of some people in that thing.
Miles, thank you. And our listeners who somehow decided to find this movie out and watch it, we apologize, but we will catch you on the next episode when we celebrate this holiday season that we are in right now with a super-sized special. It's time to ring in a new universe as well as a new year, a new series, and a new big G. Join us as we take a long and loving look at a movie that just celebrated its 10-year anniversary this year. Join us as we talk about history versus Godzilla.